Scripture reading today will be from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. I'll be reading from the New International Version. The parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Good morning, church. I remember an old, do y'all remember the old Panasonic color TVs, the old boxes? Okay, or the 13-inch color TVs that you had to wait till they warmed up. I mean, not my dad's age where you had to wait like 5 minutes, but you know, where it would, the little dot would grow and then you'd have this TV screen. Well, I remember one night when the remote was get up and change the channel, right? And I was flipping channels because my dad and I would watch Doctor Who after our family movie. That was kind of our thing to do back in the old versions that were interesting. And I was flipping through the channels and we caught this one episode of Saturday Night Live. And it's a little, just a click of a snippet. I don't even remember all of it. But there was this man who died and he goes up to see his guardian angel. And the guardian angel looks at him and says, "I know everything about you." And so this guy's shocked. He's like, "Well, okay, great. All right, okay, I want to test this. What is the grossest thing I have ever eaten?" And his guardian angel looks at him and says, "No, you don't want to remember that. No, no." So he goes, "Okay, what's the 137th grossest thing I've ever eaten?" I don't remember anything after that. I was dialing the channel. So there's this, in my mind, he asked this question. How many of you ever missed an opportunity to, like you're walking on the beach and you're hoping that you accidentally trip over a giant treasure chest of Spanish gold? Ever think about that? What would it be like if we had that opportunity and we could just find that huge, you know, treasure chest, that earthly treasure? What would it be like if we were a millionaire? Can you imagine $1 million? I can. I can't imagine a trillion. I don't know how to put my arms around a billion, but I can think of a million. And I like a lot of SNL skits that aren't funny. Don't be shy if you didn't laugh. It's okay. I think most of their humor, especially today, isn't worth it. But you might ask the question, if you could be a millionaire, if you could walk along the beach and you could accidentally stumble on some Spanish treasure, you might go, "Wow, that'd be the greatest thing that ever happened to me." Because treasure, it's an inspiring word, isn't it? When you think of treasure, you think of something that is valuable. You think of something that you desire. You think people get gold fever. Remember the gold rush in the 1800s, 1840s, wasn't it? Remember how many people have died trying to find gold? Remember the lost Dutchman's gold? Do you know how many people have died searching for the lost Dutchman's gold? And how many of you remember old westerns where there's the crazy old miner, right? And he's prospecting. And whatever you want to say about him, he's searching, right? Because as soon as he finds his little gold vein, he's wealthy. He's rich, right? Many a person has died. Many a person has died looking for pay dirt. And I'm afraid in real life, there are many people who die in poverty searching for the mother lode that they never find, or when they do discover it, the bandits come and take it, right? Or they get taxed to death, or whatever you want to call it. But there are people that get obsessed. They truly get obsessed with finding treasure. In 2019, in Gallatin County, Colorado, the sheriff's office released this statement. It said, in the last couple of years, two people have died, two people were rescued who were near death, and many others had several run-ins with local law enforcement and federal officials. One guy actually called his wife and said, honey, I'm injured. I don't know if I'll make it out alive. And she goes, well, where are you? He didn't answer that. The common denominator in all of this was they were in Yellowstone National Park searching for Forest Fenn's treasure. And yes, it's been found. You can Google that if you want. Not now. Listen to the sermon. But in Gallatin County, the message was this. And he warns people that come out, not to search for gold now, but just to come out and be a part of Yellowstone and a part of that huge park and that beauty. He says this, the sheriff said, you must know that this country is unforgiving. And if you don't give it the respect it deserves, it'll eat you. Whether it's the bears, whether it's the moose, the freezing cold temperatures, the dangers of being out there, or just the fact that some people don't have common sense as they get gold fever, it can eat you. Here's a picture of what was actually found years ago. The author, Forrest Fenn, was from Santa Fe, and he hit it in the Rocky Mountains at the ripe old age of 80, and it was actually found on the Wyoming side of Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons, all that up there. And they know that at least five people died looking for it. That is earthly treasure. But what about all the other stories that we never hear about of people that were searching for treasure? And I think that's why Jesus tells us these two little snippet parables. You know, a parable is a heavenly story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The kingdom of heaven is like this treasure that was hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again, and then goes and sold all he had to buy that field. Well, that must have been some treasure, wouldn't it? And the second one about the fine pearls. The one man finds that golden jewel, that one beautiful, perfect pearl. It's round, it's got all the right color, it's just perfect. No imperfection, so he sells all that he has, and he goes and buys it. And before you think that those two people are crazy, ask yourself how much debt you live in, chasing after the things that you think are going to bring you happiness and fulfillment, that once you acquired them, they did not. But you still had the debt to prove it. You think about that, then, and this is within Matthew where Jesus goes into these long parables about all, this long section of a bunch of different parables. He's talking about the sower at the beginning. He's talking about the weeds and the tares. And he's talking about the mustard seed. Then the hidden treasure and the later one about the dragnet. We'll get into that a little later. But these two little snippets that we're supposed to figure out their meaning in the midst of all the rest of what was going on, I think Jesus inserts as one more thing that he talks about, where he talks about money. And he talks about chasing earthly things. Remember, in the Bible, Jesus talks more about money than he talks about anything else. He talks about it more than heaven and hell, to be honest with you. And it's really interesting because treasure captivates us. We love hearing those stories. We love making those discoveries. And in these parables, that one man that stumbles across that treasure buries it so he doesn't want anyone else to find it. Anybody remember the story of Achan in the Old Testament? You're all with me on that? Then the other one, he finds this pearl and he's like, man, I've got to have that. And they go crazy to look for that. But what if that treasure was the kingdom of heaven? What if the real treasure that we should truly find valuable is the kingdom of heaven? And that if we traded everything that we owned and every relationship that got in the way so that we could pursue the kingdom of heaven. Wouldn't that be truly valuable? Amen, church? Think about this. It'll surprise you about how much money people pay for things. This is Wallace Hartley. He was the lead musician on the Titanic. And there were 8 musicians. I know the movie, I think it showed like 4 people in the video version. But in real life, there was 8 of them. And they were playing, right? All the way to the end. He was found floating. He died, of course, obviously. But he was found floating with the case and the violin inside strapped to his back. That's what was floating him up on the water. In 2013, Hartley's damaged violin sold for $1.7 million. Wow. And then how many of you remember Kanye West's Nike Air Yeezy Grammy prototype sneakers? No, I didn't Google a picture of that. I didn't want to look. On purpose. They sold in 2008 for $1.8 million. You can just give me the $1.799 and I'll go buy my own pair of sneakers, right? 2021, $1.8 million. Can you believe that? When you really find what you want, especially if you're discovering the sales, right, ladies? The thing now is thrifting, right? Or even if it's not, even if you're just hunting for sales. Isn't it great when you can discover something and you go, wow, this is not only 20% off, but I really actually would wear this. That's why I don't buy my wife clothes. Not because I don't hunt for sales, but she doesn't like anything I'd pick out anyways. And I'd probably pay full price and she'd think what an idiot I am for paying full price. Oh, you're paying. You just think you discovered something that was laid there before you. Now ask yourself about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus bought you with what? You know the answer. According to this hidden treasure, that pearl of great price, that treasure is worth more than anything. The value of that item is determined really in the eyes of the beholder, is it not? Beauty in the eyes of the beholder. The price is based on the buyer, not the seller, in most cases. In Acts 20 and 28, Paul says what? Keep watch over yourselves to the Ephesian elders and all the flock which you oversee, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. You can say it, church. Jesus bought you with blood. What else could you give but blood? Because freedom is not free. Amen? The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And that's the same with our faith. It's the eternal vigilance to continue to pursue our relationship with God. Jesus thought the kingdom of heaven was worth his own blood. And it boggles the mind, does it not? That Jesus was actually willing to die on the cross for you and for me. Knowing how far short we fall. And how many times we have said, something else is more valuable than Jesus. But how many of you have thought that Jesus is more valuable than every single thing on earth? It's worth more than the money in these parables. And I think what Jesus is trying to convey is that the value is so much higher. Here's what my small human mind can grasp. I can talk about money. I can talk about treasure. But the implication is, it's so much more. How many of you, when you read Revelation and you read the description of heaven, you realize that that's just a description using human words of something that's so wonderful, I don't know how to put my arms around it. Here's an explanation of the best that we can describe. But the true reality is so much more, I don't know how to put my arms around it. But it's so valuable, you'll want to leave everything to follow after Christ. How is it that Jesus could be walking and call the apostles, right, to follow him? And what did they do? They left what? Everything. and went and followed after him. It's not because Jesus was baiting them with money or power. He didn't zap them and manipulate them. This wasn't the emperor. This isn't Star Wars. That's not real life, although it's fun to watch. There was something about Jesus that when they saw him and they knew what he was teaching, that when he says, come follow me, they were willing to give up everything, including their livelihood, to go after the cross. Now, I'm not telling you to quit your job and come sit in the church and wait for Jesus to return. Don't believe that. But when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, store up treasures where, brethren? Store up your treasure in heaven, where the moth and the rust and the thieves, they can't get to that. But I would ask you, I would venture to ask you a question, because I bought a house in the last year, and one thing that I really wish I had more of is what? What's one of the things you always buy a house for? Closet space, right? Storage. You can never have enough storage, right? Because as soon as you expand your place of living, you find stuff to put in it. And if you've ever moved, and you were bearing the brunt of that move, what did you find out? What in the world did I keep all this stuff for? I can't sell it on eBay. I couldn't put it out on a garage sale. But it sat in the corner of my closet for how many years? Because there was something about us that went, that was valuable. And maybe it's because you paid for it. Probably too much, like a lot of us. And Jesus says to store our treasure in heaven, and it has nothing to do with the things on this earth. Think about the eye. Remember, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you choose where your heart goes. You choose where your heart loves, because love is given. What about the eye in Matthew 6? What does that mean? I think that also is kind of relating to money. It's relating to desire. What did Eve get cursed for? She looks at the fruit, right? She saw that it was desirable, that it was pleasing to the eye. Then it was good for food. And then she wanted to be like God. But the first step was, wow, that looks good. Now, I'm not saying let yourself go. Take care of yourself, but guess what? The eye, we kind of skip over it a lot of times because we get the money aspect, store your treasure in heaven, great spiritual things. But the eye, well, you choose what your eye sees. You choose what your eye enjoys. You choose what your eye desires. And if that's not what's going into your heart and eventually coming out, right? The same Jesus. Then we have to be very careful to wake up and seek that which is not physical, but that which is spiritual. In Matthew 6, what does he say? And seek first the kingdom of God. And I know it's easy to say that. I mean, you know, we're in the American context. Most of us are able to eat. We have a place to sleep. We have too much stuff. But I've preached in places where they didn't have enough. And you try preaching this message there, in a lot of cases it's actually easier for them to grasp the spiritual aspect of that because they already realize they don't have this. And so actually it's easier to give up this because we're not so tied to it and dependent upon it. That we realize our treasure is really in heaven. What would you leave? Would you leave it all? Because when Jesus gave, did he give half? When Jesus gave, did he do that standard 10%? Because that's a good starting number. No, he gave it all. Matthew 19:29, Jesus says, Everyone, that's you, that's me. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields, which is wealth, for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Now, I don't believe that when he says that you'll inherit 100 times more, that my stocks are going to go up. I don't believe, as much as we might hope, that my rich uncle, when he dies, included me in the will. I don't believe that there's somebody waiting to hand me a check that's going to solve all our financial problems. But I do believe that when he says you'll receive 100-fold, that blessing is that you get added to the body of Christ. That blessing is that now you have brothers and sisters all over the world. That you have a Jesus who has given you a spirit to indwell you, and that as part of the body of Christ, you have every spiritual blessing that is possible to give. You possess that from the moment you come out of that water, and you own that and mature in it as long as you stay on that straight and narrow. And as short as we fall, as earthly as we think, if we leave it all to follow Jesus, that's the 100 times fold. You know, last night we had the team meeting over at Southwest. And we did a lot of singing. And man, let me tell you, there's some great singers coming up in the church. But I kept thinking, what are we doing on this side of town? What are we doing on that side of town? And I'm thinking, we're doing exactly what we want to do when we all get to heaven. We're doing exactly what we'd love to do more of, be around other Christians. We're learning from God's Word. We're strengthening the faith of each other. We're part of a body that is worldwide. We want, you know, it's interesting because we want to be the one that discover. We all want to be the discoverer, right? We all want to discover the treasure. Jesus asks this question that kind of throws you in this capacity. He says, who is my brother? Right? Matthew 12. Well, who is Jesus' brother or sister for that matter? The one who does his will becomes his brother or sister or mother. We become the family of God. What value is that? It's more valuable than anything on this earth. It's more valuable than all the things that we worry about. We all want to find a hidden treasure. Guess what? There is a hidden treasure in the church. But as salt and light, you can shine and you can season so that other people can see the beauty of that pearl. So people can see the value of that treasure because it's so great that when they look at you, they want what you possess. Yes, we all dream, but guess what? The kingdom of God is the treasure that we really should seek. It is the place that we want to be. Because ultimately, we all want to go to that beautiful place called heaven. We all want to rest in Abraham's bosom. We all want to get there. When the man went and sold all that he had, he traded everything. And he never looked back. You don't hear another pat. There's not like an extra verse that says, oh, and he regretted it. There's just some things in life you can't pay for. There's just some things in life that are so valuable, leaving whatever it is off your plates, moving whatever it is that's a distraction or a stumbling block, is worth following after Christ. And you can't buy your way into heaven. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Of what can a man give in exchange for his soul? There's no such thing as indulgences, church. The Catholic Church tried this. And they tried using that passage in Matthew we read earlier about, that if you give everything up, God's going to bless you. But when you sacrifice your life on the altar for Christ and kingdom, you got to be able to say something. Remember the old hymn, I wouldn't miss heaven for the world? It's an oldie but goodie, long time ago. See, many people we love to sing and we love to be here, but what about the other people out there that are lost, that are walking in darkness? Do they see the light shine in our hearts? Do they see that we value this treasure? Because they're looking. I would imagine that they're looking in earnest. They want to find relief from the things in this world. And you might just be that perfect example. And it's okay, I think, to tell people that, you know, it's okay to leave those things behind. Because gold fever causes death. In movies and in real life, by the way. Gold fever can cause us to become poor, trying to keep up with the Joneses. Remember that all of the commercials that are selling you, whatever they're selling you, they do it by trying to create a gap, by trying to create a need where there isn't one, by trying to create an image that says you're less unless you have whatever they're selling. And I guarantee you, we've all fallen for a lot of that marketing. But you don't have to stay there. I wish, instead of gold fever, that we would get God fever. And search for Him, and sacrifice everything to follow after Him, and know that if we do, that we'll receive much more. To be at peace in your heart, what would you trade, brethren? To run with excitement and joy towards the kingdom of heaven and live there? Or to keep swiping that card, hoping it'll bring happiness? Or chasing after the things of this world? What relationship do you need to leave to have a relationship with Christ? Because He wants to have a relationship with you. He always will chase you all the way to the day of your death. He wants you to be right with Him. There is no sacrifice, brethren, that is too great to be in a right relationship with God. What would you give? And so this parable is followed by one thing that I'll close with, and that is, remember that there's going to be a sorting at some point. When you pick up the oysters and you look for the ones with the pearls, some get thrown back, most of them get eaten, right? You want to be the one that when we're collected, whenever our time is, we're put into the pile. We're keepers. You want to be a keeper, right? Maybe you hate oysters. I don't know. Pick your analogy. But you want to be on the side that says, I'm in the kingdom. I'm practicing this now. And when Jesus comes back, He will find me, and we're going home to be with Him in heaven. That's the place you want to be. So go out and make some disciples. Teach them, baptize them, help them to follow after Christ. Help them to come be a part of a body of Christ. And just as we realize that this world is unforgiving in a lot of ways, we have a God who is forgiving. And there's absolutely nothing He wouldn't want to do for you if it's going to help you to be closer to Him. And maybe He will bless you. Maybe you will get a big check. Just remember me, okay? Glad you're listening. Just remember that God loves you and He wants you to be a part of His kingdom. And we want to assist that. So please, if you're not a Christian, become one. The water's ready. If you are a Christian, you need the prayers of the church, please don't hesitate to come while we